It's something that I think a lot of us have felt. So I went to Ireland, a long time ago. I was probably 18 years old. And I went for one of my uncle's weddings. He was marrying an Irish lady, so they wanted to do it in Dublin. And so as a whole family, we flew out there, and it was so much fun. And then I went off with one of my cousins, and we went exploring Ireland and Scotland in a few different areas. And it was so much fun. But I will tell you that I was so tired by the end of that trip, I could like barely keep my eyes open. It wasn't the jet lag. It wasn't any of that. It was all of the experiences that we had. It was all the traveling. It was all the moving. It was all the going from here, going to there, going everywhere and anywhere we possibly could in the week or week and a half that we had to do all this traveling. I remember one of the nights we ended up spending pretty much almost 24 hours awake because we were waiting in an airport for an airplane because the person we met, this will give you a little insight to who I am for those who don't know me. My name is John. We met a person that we'd never met before, and we said, hey, we're traveling, we're from Canada. They said, hey, come sleep at our house. And we went, sure, that sounds like a great idea. We were going to stay at a hostel, and they said, no, come sleep. We have rooms, we have a place. So we met this random person. The only time they could drop us off was at like 1:30 in the morning for the airport. Our airplane was at about 6:30 the next day. We were flying over to Scotland. And I remember, because I was only 18, and I didn't know very much, oddly enough, I was scared at the airport that someone was going to steal all my stuff, but I wasn't scared to go sleep at a stranger's house. I didn't actually think of that until just now. So there I am, and I'm totally staying awake the entire night. I'm spending, I'm gripping my bag, you know, like tucking my hands through to hold on to it in case someone comes and pickpockets me, because we've all heard the stories of someone who's on the train in London and someone cuts their bag and all their stuff falls out and everybody grabs it. At least I have, anyways. Now you have. And I was so exhausted from that experience because we were up almost for 24 hours in a very uncomfortable, cold airport. I'm sure none of you ever done that to save a dollar or two here and there. So we're on a series right now. We're just in the middle of a series called Rest, Recharge, and Re-engage. Now, have you ever taken the same principle that we put to physical rest, which is like sleep, eating, all these different things, and applied it then to spiritual rest? I didn't think so. That's okay. It took me a long time to figure this out too, that our physical rest is actually in direct relation with our spiritual rest. When we rest in the Lord, we have this ability, this God inside of us to do more things with the physical, which includes our time, energy, finances, all of that. And so we're doing a series called Rest, Recharge, and Re-engage. And we're right in the middle. If you remember a couple weeks ago, I spoke out of Luke 8, which is where Jesus is sitting in front of the boat. And they're going across the lake, and he's fast asleep at the front of the boat. And all of a sudden, a big storm comes. And he's just absolutely pounding this boat, and they're sinking. The boat is going down. It's like, it's full-on Titanic. Like, the boat is going down. And so they say to Jesus, Jesus, like, don't you even care that we're going to die? Don't you even care that we're all going to die? And he stands up, and he says, where is your faith? So if you remember, what we were talking about is we were discussing the difference between focus. So if you remember, it says what you focus on has the ability to dictate the severity of your storm and the effect of the storm on your life. That's because when the disciples were staring at the storm, it was completely hopeless. But the minute they turned their eyes off the storm and then turned their eyes back to Jesus, the storm literally died away into nothing. Now, they're still in the middle of the lake. They probably still had a little bit of water in the boat. But when we focus on Jesus, not on the storm, although we might not exit the storm right that second like in the disciples, we have the ability to lessen its effect on our lives just because Jesus becomes greater than our storm. And if you remember, I led you in a bit of a prayer, and that was this: Jesus is bigger than my storm. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will give me the strength I need to make it through because Jesus is bigger than my storm. So today we're talking about the why of rest. And my whole hope that you take away today is simply this. Intentional rest with Jesus Christ releases purpose and calling. If you remember anything today, remember this. Intentional rest with Jesus Christ releases purpose and calling in your lives. Now, I think one of the things that I notice a lot is that God really wants to rest with us. He really wants to sit with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to abide with us. But there's a lot of things going on in this world, isn't there? I mean, who has a cell phone here? We all have some sort of device or computer or anything. And it is constantly grappling me for my attention. I spend a lot of my times grappling against something that is always wanting my attention right now, wanting to update me in this very second, wanting to grab my attention, wanting to take it away constantly. And we believe and we have this almost this false lie inside of us that says we have to respond right now. We have to deal with it right now. It's so important that it has to get done. We've got to do it right now. There's no time to wait. And so we live in a world that's constantly connected, constantly engaged, constantly all-encompassing of everything that we're doing and everything where we're doing. I don't know, you guys ever feel that? Do you ever feel like you live in a world that you just can't get away from because it's constantly in your pocket going off, reminding you of all the things that you've missed? It's called FOMO, the fear of missing out. Has anybody ever felt that effect in their life? Because they have these Facebook and these devices and they see these birthday parties they've missed and they're like, oh, I wish I was there. And there's a lot of things we end up neglecting because of that. So we're going to be talking about intentional rest with Jesus Christ and how it will release purpose and calling in your life. So if you want to churn with me, we're going to go to Luke 6, 12 through 13. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when the morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them. So here we have Jesus, and he's in a town somewhere. Luke is a very good writer, and he often repeats this same kind of a concept, and he really is trying to drive it home to us that Jesus took time to rest. Jesus took time to pray, and Jesus took time to go off on his own with God. So throughout, actually, Luke, you'll notice he often is quoted saying that Jesus went off, Jesus went off, Jesus went off. And he makes sure that he says it in a way that we will read it for what it is, that he took time with the Father by himself, Jesus Christ with the Father. And that way, when Jesus says, He says in another scripture, I do nothing but what I see the Father doing. We know that's accurate because he said, well, he spent time with God. Jesus has actually gone off and prayed, so we can understand that those two things are true. Now, he went off to the mountain to pray. Now, this is an interesting one because most of us, we assume that he's walked off to the mountain somewhere. And we think here, and he's walked off into the trees in the middle of nowhere, and he's sitting down somewhere in the mountain. Because that's our experience, that's our existence. So in their local kind of tradition and in their local customs, they actually would have places of prayer outside of the city, up on the mountain. They'd have small, just rackety little huts built alongside of a riverbed. So the Jews had a ceremonial washing. So they would pray. Before they pray, they would wash their hands, they would wash their bodies, they would wash their face, their feet, their head. They would want to clean themselves before they came and they had a conversation with God. And so rabbis would build these houses, or people would build them for the rabbis up in the mountains so they could go away secluded. This is a common practice in Jewish time to go off to the mountain to speak to God. And so they would often go out into the mountain and they had these spots and these places where you could go and you could pray and you can engage with God. And often there would be a tree or some sort of shade of to shade you from the heat of the day. There would be a river and there'd be a small hut for enough for two or three people. So to show you that Jesus was not only doing what he knew was right, he was actually doing what was common to the people. Going off to pray was a common way for Jews to connect with Jesus. And as it is today, we just don't necessarily need the place like they did. So here he goes off into the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. So one of the most important things is that he was so intentional. Jesus was so intentional about his relationship with God that I think often it makes it hard for us to understand. And what I mean by that is I think that we have a, I know I do anyways, and maybe you as well, I have this false belief that I have in myself that prayer is work. Does anybody else feel like that? I know sometimes I think when we hear the word, he went out and he prayed the whole night. The whole night? That does not sound like fun. Because we have this mindset that really is trying to dictate what rest and relationship is, because we think of rest as sitting on a beach in Hawaii somewhere. Although that is could be physical and spiritual rest is a lot more than that. Spiritual rest doesn't need the beach. Spiritual rest can happen anywhere. And so we have this lie that we believe in ourselves that says that we need to have the physical rest before I can have the spiritual rest. Because my calendar is so full and so booked that I actually don't even have time to physically rest. How can I possibly have time to spiritually rest? How can I possibly have time for that? And so I often feel like this is a lie that we tend to allow ourselves to fall into, which is to believe that rest and spiritual connection with God through prayer, meditation is work. We allow ourselves to believe it is, you know, kingdom work rather than spiritual work, rather than personal work, rather than something that's going to lift you up, build you up, carry you forward, and guide you into the future. And so Jesus did a lot of intentional ministry when it came to prayer. He spent a lot of time, verse over verse, and I probably could go through two or three in my head, where he actually just, he separated himself. He actually told his disciples to separate themselves. And he spent time away, alone, secluded, just him and God. John 15, it says it this way. It says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." I really feel like we miss the intentional nature of going and meeting with God, partly because it takes a lot of work to start. Now, I know you just heard me say, well, it's not work. It's relationship. Have anybody ever had a relationship that wasn't work to start? Just asking. Some people, sometimes, but often even those relationships that are quick to come takes a lot of time, dedication, and the word I'm going to use is an intentional and intentionality, like actually intentionally going to that person and talking with them, communicating with them, speaking with them, growing with them. So as an example, let's say you meet someone new. Let's call them friend A, friend B. So friend A meets friend B. They don't really know each other yet. But friend A says, well, you know what? I actually like, you know, Mr. B there. He's quite nice. I get along with him quite well. Maybe I'll take him out for coffee. So Mr. A takes Mr. B out for coffee, and sure enough, they strike up a friendship. How many years do you figure it would take for them to have a seamless relationship where, if, let's say, friend A moved out of town, that when he came back to town, they could start up right where they left off? How long do you think that relationship would take? See, I think, and I really think Jesus is indicating this, I think that when it comes to the way we communicate with each other and the way that we have relationship with one another, that we need to create a place and a space where we, as Christians, can have a seamless relationship with God through intention, being intentional about it. See, we don't get to know we get to know Jesus overnight like that. He says, hey, do you want to be saved? And we say, yes, actually, I would like to be saved. And he says, okay, you're in my family. Now you need to get to know him. Now you need to take the time to actually get to know him. And eventually, after you get to know people, and I'm sure most of you would agree with this, there's people who give you more life than they take away from you. There's people in your lives that when you go and see them and you go and visit them, you actually are given life from them. You feel encouraged by them. You feel built up by them. You feel uplifted by them. And if our relationships on earth are a reflection of God's relationship with us, then possibly it just takes time. And then it comes to one of the most important things that we do, which is allowing God then in relationship to call out of us what he's placed inside of us. Most of you are looking at me like, I don't like this part. This part requires work. This part's the exciting part. This part's the adventure. You see, because God, Jesus Christ and God and Holy Spirit don't just invite us into a relationship. They invite us into a party. And I know what you're thinking. Well, hold on a second. How does that make any sense? Because what God is doing here on earth is a party. When people receive Jesus Christ, our response should be hooting and hollering in excitement. Jesus Christ is actually inviting us into that, to be a part of that, to be with that, so that we can celebrate people receiving the kingdom of God inside of them, Jesus Christ, receiving Holy Spirit inside of them. And it's through that relationship that we get to draw out of one another as well what God has placed inside of them. Just like we see Jesus here, he went off into the mountains to pray and, I believe, rest. There's different kinds of prayer, of course. There's, you know, spiritual warfare. There's intercession. There's abiding, which is meditating on his words. And all these things can happen at the same time. They don't have to be exclusive of one another. They can all happen in the same moment, in the same breath. But you notice what happens here when Jesus comes down from the mountain. What happens? He spends time with God, his Father. And then he points to 12 men and he says, "You will build my church." In fact, he actually renames one of them, Peter. He says, "No, your name isn't good enough for what you're going to do. You're greater than your name now. Your name is Peter." Out of relationship, an intentional relationship with Jesus Christ, he will release in us purpose and calling. So we live in this world of constant connection, constantly being, you know, one with another, in communication, in relationship, in all these different things, all these different avenues that are constantly striving for our attention and time. And one of the things that I find, I know myself, I often miss is that if I wake up in the morning and I pull out my cell phone first, there's a problem. Because if I actually have a relationship with Jesus Christ, why wouldn't I say good morning? He's there with us everywhere we go and everything we do. And so that's part of relationship. Part of relationship is actually just engaging with him, engaging with relationship, having community, having relationship, and being intentional about saying, "Hey, I see you there." Often I hear people say, "Well, I don't know what I am called to do. I don't know why God has created me." I feel like this is an all too often thing that we see in the lives of spiritual believers, not just here. Don't get me wrong. I'm actually not even necessarily talking about here. I'm talking about as Christendom as a whole. I find more and more people are saying, "I don't know what I should be doing for God because he hasn't told me anything yet." I hear it often, even in leaders and believers that I am in connection with and have been in connection with over the years. Where is God? What is God doing? Where is he going? The question I always have is, well, have you asked him yet? Just a thought. Have you asked him yet? Yes, I've asked him. I've prayed. I've asked him. And my next question is simply this: have you waited for your answer? One of the hardest things for us to do in a world that is constantly connected, constantly engaged, and constantly wanting our attention is to give him our attention. Is to actually give the relationship the attention it deserves. It's really difficult. It can be really difficult. It doesn't need to be, but it can be. It doesn't have to be difficult either. If you don't have any trouble with that, that's great. The Lord is kind to you. But part of this process is that Jesus Christ, when he comes into your life, is that he wants to take away. Remember last time we talked, and I'm going to say it again because it's quite important. The last time we talked, I mentioned and reminded you that when you trade him your time, he gives something back to you. We often say, well, I have nothing to give. I have no gifts. I have no abilities. I have nothing. I'm useless in God's kingdom. Well, you have your time. And your time is a precious and valuable commodity, and everything is vying for your time. Marketing is specifically designed to take away your time and attention. It's designed to take your attention and take your time away from you. So you have something to give to Jesus. That is your time. And when you give him your time, he will exchange it for something. When you intentionally spend moments and time with Jesus Christ, he will give you something in return, as it says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, spiritual rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, spiritual rest is more than just this. It's more than just sitting on a beach somewhere. It's more than, I'm trying to think of another example besides sitting on a beach somewhere. Apparently it's summer. That's all I can think about. Sitting on MacIver Lake beach somewhere. It's more than that. Spiritual rest is a two-way communication between your spirit and God. And that's all accessible through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has come to this world and he has died on a cross so that you can have relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can have a direct relationship with him. And he sent his Holy Spirit so that he can teach us and guide us and show us what we are to know and what we are to learn. And honestly, being with Jesus Christ is one of the most exciting things that you can do. Being with Jesus Christ in relationship, it is so life-giving, it is so encouraging, it is so building up that we will take you to places that you never thought your abilities could lead you. It'll take you to places that you never believed or into rooms that you never believed that you should have had access to. Because when you spend time with him, he will release the calling that he has placed inside of you. He will draw that out. The purpose of why you are created, he will draw that out. And it will come to being to those around you. So, two things that I want to encourage you and challenge you to kind of change your mind around. The first one is simply this. Prayer is not work. Prayer isn't work. Don't see prayer as work. If you see prayer as work, I encourage you, do your best to change your mindset. And the way that you change your mindset, which is number two, is simply this. Be intentional about a relationship with Jesus. Be intentional about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that means prayer, meditation, reading your Bible. I know that sounds so trivial. And most of us are like, oh, I've heard this message before. Now that I've given you my points, you're like, oh, I've heard this message before. But there's nothing that can be more true that if you want more from God, you want your calling, you want your purpose, you're trying to find this thing that you've been seeking, this rest that you've been looking for, this rest that you've been you know, vacationing for all summer, but you just can't quite seem to find, stop and take time with Jesus Christ. Not only does he want it, he's excited to spend time with you. He's excited to be in your presence with you, having relationship with him. So the question really is, why rest? Because it does. When we rest and have intentional relationship with Jesus Christ, just like the disciples who were released out into the world, who intentionally spent time with Jesus, who intentionally had relationship with Jesus, their calling and purpose was called out of them, and they were released to the world. They were released to excitement. They were released to all these things. So just in the same way that they spent time with Jesus, and Jesus came down off the mountain and released calling in their lives. Jesus wants to release calling and purpose into your life. And he wants to do that through relationship. He wants to do that through resting and abiding in him. He wants you to abide in him. So we got a little application for that. So if you remember, I encouraged you the last time to take this little note. Take this little note, write it down. And when you park at home, if you feel like you're in a storm and you just can't slow down, you don't know where you're going, you don't know how to get there, you don't know how to stop, to just take 5 minutes and repeat this over and over and over again. Or take 2 minutes, or take 30 seconds. But continue to say this, because as you say it and as you believe it and as you release it, it will become true in your life, because you're speaking truth over yourself. So remember how speaking truth over yourself releases truth from you. So you remember, this is what I encourage you to say. Now I'm going to tag a little something on to that. So, Jesus, you are bigger than my storm. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You will give me the strength I need to make it through. Jesus, here I am. I am here. Jesus, I come with my arms open. Jesus, I come with my heart open. I believe you have called me. I believe you have purposed me. And I believe that you do have more for me. Jesus, I come with my arms open. I want you to just take a second. And I want you to just pray this to yourself. You don't need to pray out loud. If you want to, you can. But just encourage you, just take a second right now. And I want you to just pray this over yourself. Now I want you to do something more fun than that. I want you to look to the person to your left, and I want you to look to the person to your right. And I want you to tell them the three things that you believe. You say, I believe Jesus has called me. I believe Jesus has purposed me. And I believe Jesus has more for me. And I want you to say that to your neighbors around you. So go ahead. Tell your neighbors. Wow, you guys have a lot of faith. You just spoke truth over yourself. Isn't that amazing? So, let's just take this one more time. And I actually want you guys to encourage you. I want you to just read along with me. Jesus, I am here. Jesus, I come with my arms open. I come with my heart open. I believe you have called me. I believe you have purposed me. And I believe that you have more for me. Jesus, I come with my arms open. So when you go home and you're sitting in your car and you're having a hard time connecting with Jesus Christ, I want you to encourage you to read and say this over and over and over again to yourself. I believe there's more. I believe there's greater things. And the next time I talk, we are going to be talking about something a little bit different, which is how to give God your first rather than your last. Because sitting in your car and talking to God is a fantastic way of doing it if that's the only time you got. But the challenge is your schedule should be freer for Jesus than it is for anything else you do in life. Your schedule should be freer for Jesus than it is anything else in your life. And so we're going to talk about that in August. So I encourage you to come back every Sunday, because I'm not going to tell you which Sunday I'm preaching again. So let's stand, and I'm going to encourage you. We're going to continue to worship the Lord and respond this morning. And if I could ask those who are on the prayer team to come up to the front, if you need prayer or you want to say this to somebody again, because you just need God to, you need to receive it in your own spirit, I encourage you to do so. So Ernie's going to come on to the front to pray for people. And Lord bless you guys. Let's worship together.
Oh,